Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Small business is getting more complicated by the day, and small business owners are aware of it. Increasingly, they're turning to consultants to help handle the complexities. In fact, their ability to tap into external resources has become critical to their business success. A Xero.com study found that successful business owners are 2.4 times more likely to seek outside advice and 1.6 times more likely to have an excellent relationship with their financial advisor. Small and medium-sized businesses and high-growth businesses now feel the need to have a sounding board. Someone they can reach out to before a big business decision is taken. Accountants and legal advisors are becoming that sounding board. They're consulted on questions like, how do I grow from a $100,000 a year business to $1 million a year business? Where can I improve internal processes? Are we ready to hire our next team member? Even that last question is more complex than it looks. Traditionally, the business owner might check the figures to see if the business can afford a new hire. But the issue is probably deeper than that. A modern business owner isn't necessarily asking if they can afford an employee. They're asking if they need one. The problem growing business owners often face put them in a difficult position. How do you fill functionality when you don't have the budget or full-time need for an employee? They might want to know how many customers one staff member can handle before reaching the tipping point. Where does the work and the quality begin to suffer? This isn't only a problem with just one area of the business. The problem persists within accounting, marketing, sales, operations, and technology. No wonder that most business owners end up acting as the CFO, the COO, the CRO, and the CTO of their own company. Business owners are starting to look for sophisticated advice. Cash flow is often the first conversation. Many small and medium-sized business owners don't have the skills to deal with cash flow issues in an organized manner. When not managed properly, these problems can lead to business failure or, at the very least, stress and distraction. These business owners need a trusted advisor to take on a CFO role and build strong financial foundations so they don't dread bills and paydays anymore. These trusted advisors can help them budget and manage cash more effectively, develop better invoicing systems, follow up overdue accounts, and access accounts receivable financing if necessary. Are you familiar with the concept of a fractional CFO, a chief financial officer? It's a less common, though no less important, outsourcing strategy that brings a C-suite talent into your business. Those unfamiliar with outsourcing might find it strange to outsource a role as important as the C-suite. The tactic can provide great benefits for business owners who know what they're looking for. To delve deeper into this possibility for your small business, I've asked Joseph Wirth to come on the show. Joe is a SCORE volunteer and is also an employee of B2B CFO. He has over 30 years of financial, general management, sales, and transaction experience in high technology hardware and software, printing, manufacturing, distribution, and service industries. He has been the full-time CFO of a mid-sized publicly held company and four small or medium-sized privately held companies. Earlier in his career, Joe was the president of a Rust Belt manufacturing company, the sales and marketing manager of a high-tech equipment company, a financial consultant, and a computer programmer and a naval officer. Joe is a Harvard MBA with particular expertise in business exits, mergers, acquisitions, and divestitures, coaching and consultative selling, financial function planning, building and management in high growth companies, public and private equity and debt funding, including IPO, follow-on public offerings, VC, and angel funding and bank debt. Joe's broad experience helped to build his generalist approach to companies and problems. He has managed and advised companies at virtually every stage: startup, high growth, steady state, shrinking, closing, turnaround, and bankruptcy. Welcome to Score Business Points, Joe, and thank you for taking the time out to be with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Mike.
All right. All right. My first question is really to ask you briefly to explain to the listeners exactly what your firm does.
Sure. On a high level, we are trusted business advisors to privately held businesses. We help those businesses to grow their sales, their profits, most importantly, their cash flow, the value of their businesses over time, and then help them to realize the value of the exit when they eventually do exit their business.
I understand that the people in your company are all called partners.
That's correct. We are partners.
So you're our partners. Okay. And they're all CFOs or something like that. Am I correct?
They all have been CFOs in their career. Absolutely.
All right. In the opening, I mentioned fractional CFOs. I know you don't like that term and your business doesn't like that term. So
that's true.
How does that, what you do, differ from the fractional CFO?
That's a great question, and I appreciate the opportunity to answer it. Fractional CFOs is a term that people have preconceived notions about what that means. And typically, a fractional CFO, whether they be a member of a firm that advertises themselves as fractional CFOs, or a CFO who's between jobs looking for his next job and paying the bills by doing some consulting in the meanwhile as a fractional CFO, these people tend to be very good people, but they're generally very focused on the history of the business. They help the accounting department. They help manage the accounting department. They get the financial statements done every month. And maybe they even do some analysis of the financial statements, but they're backwards looking. They're historically oriented. Whereas a CFO, like our CFOs, are strategic CFOs. We're high-level CFOs. And by calling us fractional CFOs, that lumps us in with the real fractional CFOs. And that's, it's like we call it getting thrown into a bucket with them. And the competition becomes on price and price only, not on the benefits that we can bring to our clients. So that's why we don't like fractional CFOs. We have nothing to do with that term.
Okay, so then what are the benefits to a small or medium-sized business in using a firm like yours?
That's a great question. The main thing is cash. We help companies in many, many ways focus on increasing their cash and their cash flow. And we can go into how we do that in a little more detail if you'd like. And what that does eventually is a couple of other down-the-road benefits is it tremendously reduces the stress on business owners. And in the long run, since companies are valued usually as a multiple of cash flow, increasing their cash flow increases the value of their business. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, having the business on a solid cash footing reduces the stress on the owner. He doesn't have to worry about making payroll next week or which bills he's going to pay before the others. And he or she can concentrate on the vision of the business, the future of the business, growing the business. Often, after we've been with the business owner for a while, they take the first vacation they've taken in years. They get more free time. Their families love that. And a tremendous peace of mind. And eventually, when the business grows in value and the exit, which inevitably occurs one way or another, happens, most businesses, 80% or more, sometimes a lot more, of their personal net worth is tied up in their business and mm-hmm. is completely illiquid. But when the exit happens, then now they're liquid. They've got some real liquid personal wealth. They can retire using that money. They can go on to their next phase of their life. And those are the high level benefits that we bring to our clients.
You kind of answered the next question I was going to ask, that what kind of value do you bring to that company besides the obvious ones of financial and accounting strengths?
I think I went right there without.
That's okay. It just cuts down your time. You're going to be on the radio. That's all.
That's great. Let me give you some examples of what we do to provide those benefits. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because those are features and benefits are what's important. But, if you took the top things that we do a lot and that we do well, I already mentioned the first one, that's improving cash flow. And there's lots of different, processes and tools we use to do that. In addition to our experience, bank loans are a big area. Getting bank application packages together, finding the right banks, shopping the right banks. When I have a looking for a bank, I call it running a beauty contest among the banks, to pick the right bank for the business and get some competition going among the banks so we get the best deal. A lot of times we help companies grow and grow profitably. We remove barriers to growth. And as I already mentioned, increasing company value results. We help a lot in the strategic planning. Most of our clients, when we start out with them, don't even have budgets, even the larger ones. And even if they have a budget, the process they use to get to the budget and the use of the budget throughout the year to identify what's going on and make better decisions is often sorely lacking. And we help a lot with that.
So when does it make sense for a small business to hire an advisor like you?
Can I say right now?
Sure.
No.
Absolutely.
One of the big things that business owners do, most businesses have an organization chart which explains what people do, who reports to who, what their names are, and a title. But all companies have what we call the informal organization chart. And this is laid out in the first book that our founder and CEO wrote called The Danger Zone. All people in the company are basically divided up into three buckets, if you will. Finders, minders, grinders. Finders are the people at the top. They're the owner. They're the CEO. They're visionaries. They live in the future in their minds. It's their job to identify markets to attack, to identify customers, to identify what products to develop, and so that the company grows over time. And they're very, very key people. There's very few of them in any given company. The next group are called minders. Minders are people that keep track of stuff and help stuff get done. These would be supervisors, managers, accounting staff. Minders typically, as opposed to the finders, they live in their minds in the past. They keep track of things. They're historically oriented. They're very valuable people. And then most of the rest of the people in a company are grinders. And that's not a pejorative term. They just do the work. They come to work every day, get the actual work of the business done. This includes salespeople, by the way, which are generally grinders and not finders. Grinders live in the present. They often mistrust the minders and the finders, but we need them all. All of these groups are important, and they are valued equally. But what happens to a company as they grow from inception, from founding, is they have to build infrastructure. And as they build that infrastructure, the finder gets dragged down into minding and finding. And when they do that, there's only so much time in a day, no matter how hard or how many days a week they work, and they're not doing the finding. And the growth of the company can level off, and this can actually cause cash flow difficulties. And that's why it's called the danger zone. They get into a place where the needs for cash can exceed the sources of cash, and that can literally be fatal. So what we do is, with our high-level strategic advice, we help the owners get out of minding and grinding and back into finding, where they need to be, that's why they joined the business. That's why they founded a business, was that vision of where we want to go and what we want to do for people and for companies. So that's really when a business owner finds himself down into minding and grinding, that's when they need us. I'll tell you a very quick story. I met a business owner at the old Broadway Diner in Red Bank one time many years ago, and I just gave him that same explanation, and he looked at me with this shocked expression, which I can't imitate on the radio, and he said, "Oh my gosh, I'm not only minding, I'm grinding every day." and it was right. He was. And I knew that instant that he would be my client and I would be able to help him out.
Is there a time when it doesn't make sense to hire an advisor like you?
The main one is where the business is too small. Okay. When a business is under a certain level of revenues, they can't afford advisors like partners in our firm, like a top level regional CPA firm, the best lawyers in town. They just can't afford that. And when I meet a business owner in that situation, I'll often, interview them, talk to them, give them some free advice, but then explain to them that you know, I'm not even going to make a proposal because you can't afford my services. And quite frankly, they often appreciate that. Rather than me just trying to sell them, I'm looking out for them.
Well, you know, I can understand that. I mean, even when I was consulting, there was a point that I would say that, well, you know, everything that you're asking for is good, but I'm not sure that you can afford someone like me, or you're not at that point yet.
Yes.
Maybe you should hire. And sometimes I would actually give them a reference to somebody else who would be at a lower level that would be perfect for them.
Absolutely. I appreciate you reinforcing that. And I do the same thing all the time.
Yeah. So how does a small business owner go about finding the right advisor?
That's a question that's way beyond CFOs and trusted business advisors. That's a general question. And the answer is, not atypical. You can start online, do the right Google searches, look at websites, look at advice sites. And the main way people find advisors is they ask their current advisors for referrals, for introductions. But, you know, I've had introductions from guys, golf buddies that are, you know, other business owners. It runs the gamut. But, you know, do your internet research. And in fact, when you get a name from one of your other advisors, one of your friends, one of your trusted inner circle people, check them out on the internet and, find out, what do they look like? What does it look like they do?
All right, then, for all the listeners to know, what would be the typical credentials of a good advisor, say, like your partners?
I can tell you what our firm does exactly, and I think generalizing that is a good idea. Our partners, in order to even get considered to join our firm, have to have at least 20 years of total business experience from their last education, whether it be undergrad or an MBA, whatever their graduate degrees are. Most of our partners have been a CFO multiple times. I myself have been a corporate CFO for five different businesses full time. And so that's very important. And the other thing really is that they have a strategic point of view. They're not, about half of our partners are CPAs. They don't practice as CPAs, but they have been CPAs in their previous career. But it's very important that they have a strategic forward-looking point of view. As opposed to most CPAs in CPA firms right now, they do great work. You know, they do taxes, they do financial statements, they do audits, but their focus is on looking backwards. And we need the kind of personality that's focused on the looking forward and looking on strategy. That's what the business owner needs, and that's what we need in our firm.
Kind of leads into the next question, which I think you answered a little bit. What should the business owner expect from a good advisor?
Again, a general question beyond my expertise and my firm and my function. I think the most important thing to expect from an advisor is that they be a really good listener, that they understand, they hear what you're saying, they understand what you need, they listen really well. And part of listening well, in my opinion, is asking really good questions to get to the bottom. Somebody can tell you something, but, if you can think, what does that really mean? What's the so what of that question? And ask more questions to get to the real bottom of what's going on. So a good listener is very, very important. Being a good communicator is very important. One of the things that we do in our firm is we update our clients very, very regularly on what we're doing, what we're accomplishing, what our roadblocks might be. And we do that absolutely once a month, more often once a week. So any advisor should be doing that same thing.
All right. You've given us a lot of the benefits of having a good advisor. So what are some of the drawbacks of having someone as an advisor like you?
Very few drawbacks, quite frankly. Cost is one that's real. You have to pay money. But, we feel very strongly that we bring a lot more value than we cost. And any good advisor should do that. There are some things you just have to have advisors, like licensing and regulation. And, they are what they are. And it's very straightforward. But with a trusted advisor at a high level, whether it be a lawyer, a CPA, a B2B CFO, you really ought to be getting more value. The other drawback might be that, you're going to have to change. If you're going to take the advice of your advisor, you need to be willing to change. And change is difficult. Change causes disruption. Change is can even be expensive. And if you're not willing to change, then you should not hire advisors like us. The only of the two clients that I've ever fired in my career with B2B CFO, they both had problems with change and taking my advice. And eventually I got to the point where, you know, if we're not going to work on what I'm advising you to work on, then I can't, you know, live with myself to charge you money to sit here and just talk at you. Let's go, you know, let's be friends and go our separate ways.
According to a McKinsey and Company report, they said non-finance leaders of companies, they asked them areas in which their CFOs and accounting functions created the most value. And these were the top four answers.
Okay.
47% said value was created in traditional financial roles such as accounting and controller. So you can think of it as bookkeeping and reporting. 42% of the business owners said value is created from cost and productivity management, such as budgeting, modeling, and measuring operation and efficiency. So this is, say, utilization. And 27% said specialty finance roles created values. So this is the special project stuff. And 25% said value came from strategic leadership, that CFOs are positioned to be the strategic stewards for the company. So my question to you is, do you agree with those responses, or do you feel that a CFO that's less than full time brings more to the company? And if so, what more?
This is a great question, and I really appreciate your research to find, you know, dig these things out prior to us talking. I agree with every one of those four items, except I totally disagree with the percentages and the order. I think you ought to exactly reverse them so that the strategic leadership is on top, is the most valuable, and at the bottom is the traditional finance roles like bookkeeping and reporting. And, you know, and you then you asked about, you know, full time or otherwise, we being the otherwise. One of the things that I have found over and over again, and my partners see all the time, is often we'll be approached by an owner of a company who says, I need to replace my CFO. I'm not getting what I need. Well, of course, that's the opportunity to dig out what they think they need from their CFO, which is often actually far less than they can get from the CFO. And then we dig into, you know, what they need. And it turns out that to do those traditional finance roles that we talked about, which was your top 47% bullet.
Well, it's not mine. It was a business owner say this.
Okay, McKinsey's. Okay. McKinsey's data. Okay.
Their business owner said that stuff.
Yeah. I appreciate that correction. That traditional stuff, that day-to-day financial work, that's really best done and supervised by a really good controller. Somebody that's in there every day, looking at every piece of paper that crosses their desk, looking at every invoice that comes in their email, and supervising the day-to-day work of the accounting staff, such as it is. So that's where to get that value for most business owners. Mm-hmm. To get the strategic value, that's where we come in. And there's no, there, you know, the businesses, when a business gets to the 50, especially over $75 million in annual revenue range, you know, which is way outside the score bailiwick, they need a good strategic CFO full time, someone with the same level of experience and expertise that we have to guide them. Below that, there's not a full time job there, in my opinion, to do that. If you're paying somebody that's really like that, you know, you're talking about $250,000 a year person. You know, most small businesses are at the bottom end of the medium range, can't and shouldn't afford a person like that. But they need the strategic advice. They need the forward-looking person to help them. And the right way to get that is just to pay for it on a part-time basis rather than a full-time basis.
All right. And we've said this already as we've gone through this interview, that advisors like you can save the business owner money, time, and you'll present the business owners with a fresh point of view. I'm sure you agree with that. So how would that be accomplished? And if you disagree, tell me why.
No. I don't disagree in the least. I mean, we've been talking about this for quite a few minutes now. The point here is this, and I really want to focus on the fresh point of view part of what you asked. And that's the part that I most agree with. You know, our values, our core values of our firm and its business are honesty, integrity, and objectivity. And it's the last one on a day-to-day. The honesty and the integrity should be givens for anybody doing this kind of work. finance work. You just, if there's not honesty, integrity, forget it. Mm-hmm. But yes. Objectivity is something that, that full-time employees, quite frankly, can't provide. If they aren't, if they're objective and tell the boss, the owner, something that they don't like, they can lose their job.
Right.
And
right.
Consciously or subconsciously, that affects the advice they give. Even if they have the knowledge, the experience, they dig the data out and they have the advice to give, they often either can't give it, won't give it, or they aren't listened to because they have no independent, you know, point of view. Whereas we come in, we've been doing this for, in most cases, decades. You know, we've been asking good questions. We've been figuring stuff out. And when we give advice, objective advice, people tend to listen more. And when they listen, then they can take action and we can bring a lot more value to the business.
Absolutely true. I mean, I found that even in when I did my consulting work,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what they, I'm there for, to give them a fresh set of eyes to look at it a different way and give them advice. All right. Now, all this time, we've talked about the services and the qualifications about advisors, but we haven't talked about cost.
Right.
Okay. So how much would it cost to hire you or someone like you?
Yeah. You know, when we approach or are introduced to a business owner that might want to hire us, I get that question all the time, right up front. Okay. And I can never give a specific answer right away because I don't know what I might charge a new business, a new client, until I dig down deep into what their situation is, including analyzing their financial statements, interviewing the owner, you know, very completely, often interviewing the controller or parts of their financial staff, sometimes interviewing their advisors, their CPA, et cetera. So I can't even figure out myself what I'm going to charge a client until I've done all that work. And quite frankly, that work usually takes about 8 hours per prospective client, which we give away for free. Otherwise, we're not doing a good job. But that doesn't, that, you know, that that's going to leave your listeners scratching their heads like, well, he's not answering my question. So I'm going to tell you this. Our rates, which we never discuss until we make a proposal to someone, are commensurate with what a mid-level CPA associate would charge. Not a new kid right out of school, not a partner, but, you know, someone with 2, 3, 4 years experience. We charge the same kinds of rates that those people charge.
Okay. Well, at least that gives them a ballpark. I know.
It's a ballpark, right.
I know what you're talking about, having come from the corporate world and know what's going on. But from a small business standpoint, a lot of them don't understand that. But at least it gives them a starting point. They have a place to look.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for all your information. So do you have any parting words for the listeners?
Other than to say thank you to you, Mike, for the opportunity to hopefully help our listeners a little bit. You know, I love to talk about what I do in my firm, so this is just an opportunity to have some fun. So thanks very much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. I thank you very much. Thank you, Joe, for all your expertise in the world of, for lack of a better term, financial CFOs, or should I say advisor CFOs. Listeners, as a small business owner, you may be wearing more than one hat, probably 5 or 6. With that much on your plate, you may not be doing the best job possible for your business. An owner needs to decide if they want their business to grow or if they're happy where it's at. Despite what you read, either answer is okay. Some people want to build a lifestyle out of their business. However, a strong business needs to invest in making sure that all of its functions are adding value. Many business owners put far too much weight into their bookkeeper's capabilities. The best bookkeepers I know are limited to reconciling and closing books monthly, which I don't want to downplay. However, business owners looking for reporting and analysis from a bookkeeper are setting themselves up for disappointment. Don't get me wrong. A competent bookkeeper brings in incredible value to a business. The cornerstone of an effective finance and accounting function is having accurate numbers. Without correct numbers, tasks such as budgeting, reporting, analysis, and strategic planning aren't possible. In my estimation, one of the most important functions of a business after the CEO is the CFO. I believe that a CFO should be a business owner's partner. A CFO is best positioned to drive value by delivering in 3 areas: analysis, processes, and strategy. Analysis takes on many different forms. It can be reporting, such as building dashboards or key performance indicators. It could also mean budgeting or forecasting so an organization can plan for the resources they will need. Every organization is made up of a series of processes. A typical CFO comes from a background rooted in processes as well as efficiencies and effectiveness in processes. CFOs can help streamline processes and build efficiencies where others might not see them. Lastly, every business must have a strategy. Strategy is such a common word that it has lost its meaning these days. However, there is a process to strategy. Unless an organization has a formal process around building strategy, they are often throwing darts at the board. A CFO needs to lead the strategic process of an organization. Still today, many business owners tell me they don't need a CFO because their tax accountant fills the role for them. Knowing how the tax preparation process unfolds, it's amazing how business owners equate this to the value of a CFO. A real CFO's value is in providing direction for a business. Through in-depth analysis, effective processes, and sound strategies, they enable companies to build the best path forward for growth. After all, creating value across your organization is the key to growth. If you'd like more information about this show or any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a business topic you'd like to hear discussed, or you have a comment about this show or past shows, you may reach me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time we have for today. I would again like to thank my guest, Joseph Wirth, for being here today.
Since the recording of this interview, Joe, after more than 16 years with B2B CFO, decided to strike out on his own, working as a trusted advisor alongside business owners and key advisors to improve cash flow, increase company value, and prepare for a successful exit.
Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.